What's happening, my debt-free millionaire zealots? If you can't tell, I'm in a hotel again, because I am actually up in Alaska doing a convention for Historical Conquest and Zogos Gaming. We are out here. Something new just happened. So in the past, Alaska has allowed for homeschoolers and people that lived in the bush to be able to get home supplies, educational supplies, so that they could do their education. Well, again, because they're so rural, they're so out there in the middle of nowhere that they can't go to school. There are no schools everywhere. If you're going to build a school everywhere the students are, there'd be like five students in each school because, again, Alaska is so spread out. Well, as of 2 weeks ago, a judge decided in his brilliance that it was unconstitutional to divvy out taxpayer money to students who wanted to do schooling somewhere else instead of the public schools. So in his brilliance, he said, we're shutting it off. No more allotments, which is what they call it. It's basically like a grant. It's like school choice. But in Alaska, it's very necessary. And so there's big uproar in Alaska. It's not just the people that are sticking up for this allotment, this program that's been there for the last, since 2012. It's also the legislators that are doing it. It's both people on the left and the right. Everyone's coming together. So hopefully it'll be overturned, because these kids need actual materials that they can use. Now, interesting enough, when we went through it, we actually had to go through a school district to get certified to be able to sell in Alaska for the allotment. I don't know how that's unconstitutional. I don't know how that's an issue with Alaska, because we are proven, certified, secular. We don't talk about religion in our curriculum, all these things. And so why is he having such a big issue with this? So with that being said, now everything's up in the air. We don't know exactly how everything's going to work when it comes to, are we going to get paid for the materials that we're going to give out? Should we actually give out all the materials that we want to give out? So it's this big old thing. And what does this have to do with anything? Well, it just has to do with me being totally open and transparent with you of what we're doing and what's so great about our system. And again, our promise that we will be a $1 million brand by the end of this year. That gives us, 8 months left? Plenty of time. Plenty of time. Okay, so debt-free millionaires will be a millionaire brand by that time. And I'm not actually expecting to buy any real estate or anything like that to make that $1 million. But you never know. If things turn out well when I'm teaching about real estate, I might actually walk you through each step of the real estate market, of which we would be buying a rental property or such. So I'll keep you in tune with that one. Okay, so, but today we're talking about the thing that everyone loves talking about, and we've talked about it before, but we've never talked about the taxes and how you report them. So this is what this conversation is all about. So first off, when you start going into getting employment, you're going to know that the government is going to pull money out of your salary or out of your paycheck. And this goes to the social entitlement programs that we have in this country. It goes to Social Security, which is an entitlement, but it is an entitlement because you actually pay for that. So every dollar that goes into Social Security is supposed to be in our lock and key. It's not with this current government, but you're supposed to be able to get it back when you become 65 or older, or 60, depending on where you start pulling your money. Now, that being said, the federal income tax is something that would be pulled out every paycheck. And this is done by when you first start working for an employer, they're going to ask you to fill out a W-4. So W-4. And this is a form that basically says, this is who I am. I'm working for this company. And if you actually expect to have any deductions, which we're going to walk you through later on, then you're going to report it there. And basically what that does is, instead of them taking the full federal income tax, it actually reduces the amount. So especially people that are working, especially people that have families, anybody that's listening here that's not a youth, you want to look at your W-4. You want to ask your employer and say, I want to see my W-4 and I want to increase my deductions. Now, you actually have to have legitimate reasonings to do that. But basically what it is the government will less money to pull from you, pull from your paycheck. And in the end, if they owe you money, great. That's less money that they would have been holding on to, and you can invest in other things. But at the end of the year, you pull too much out, they're going to be asking for some money back, which is fine too. But you'll be holding on to it. You'll be investing with it. But hopefully you have the money by that point so you can actually pay up. That's the issue. That's why they withdraw right away, because they don't know if you'll be able to pay at the end of the year. So don't exempt yourself from everything, but you can bring yourself down enough so that you're paying a lot less than the full amount, because you have certain deductions, including if you're head of household, if you are have kids, things like that. All these things are apply to you being able to be part of the system, that is the taxpayer system. Okay, so you go in and you fill out your W-4 and you give it back to your employer. Your employer now inputs that into their system, however they do their HR, which means anything they do to do their payroll, and that payroll system will automatically deduct and withhold a certain amount every month from you being paying your federal income tax. It does not hold you back from Medicaid or Medicare, or it's called the FICA tax, which is basically all the entitlements together. And it does not keep you from Social Security. Those ones you have to pay in full. But the income tax, whatever you can stop paying the government, great. If you have to pay them out at the end of the year, that's fine too. But just make sure you have that money at that point. So you might want to put that money in savings, or just deduct or exempt yourself on the W-4 with just the number that you need in order to basically break even. Maybe you won't have money coming back at the end of the year. That's because you saved it all in the beginning of the year, which is even better because you had 12 months worth of money that could go into savings, can accrue interest, and can be spent on investments. Okay, so going forward, when at the end of the year, your employer says, hey, this is how much you made, you have to report this back to the federal government. They're going to give you what's called a W-2. That's W-2. A W-2 is basically just a report from your employer. They're going to be sending in a copy to the federal government. You're going to send one into the federal government. And this basically states, this is how much I made from this employer and all the taxes that I paid. And basically, they'll take from that and they'll reduce the amount of taxes that you have to pay depending on your standardized deductions. Again, standardized deductions, you can donate $100, $1,000, $10,000 to a donation. You can pay your mortgage. All these things, the ways you're spending money, have been allotted to, not all things, because if you spend it on food or spend it on entertainment, that's not taking any other taxes. But certain things can be removed from your taxes, which means if the government has been taking money away from you, they're now going to have to give it back to you. But remember, this is the biggest thing about this amount of money that comes back to you. This is your money coming back to you. This is not the government giving you money at the end of the year. This is them giving you your money back. So stay tuned for that. Or you'll hear more about that as we go. Now, this brings you into where you report it back to the government. And this is called a 1040. This is the IRS 1040 form. Now, this is basically where you give your information, your children's information, how much you made, how much you deducted, and this is the amount that the government owes you back. This is basically everything that you need to know on this one form of what you need to deduct. Now, if you don't have investments, which you will, but maybe not now, if you don't have other miscellaneous money coming in and out of your pocket, then most likely you just have this one form to fill out, which is great. Any other miscellaneous revenue or expense, you're going to be filling out additional forms that will be piled on top of this and reported back on this one form, the 1040 form. So the 1040 form will give you a full calculation of how much you owe the government or how much the government owes you back. Now, this is your federal taxes. Your state taxes are very similar in the sense that the state withholds money from your paycheck and then will give you back your money if you fulfill certain amounts, certain money information. So in this sense, I'm going to be paying the state government. They're going to be withholding my money from the paycheck, and then they'll be giving it back to me, my money, giving it back to me at the end of the year, depending on how many deductions I have, including children or energy efficiencies, things like that. They're going to be bringing that back. So there are some things to know about when you're talking about these three forms. So these are the things that you're going to have to do. If you want to do a simple calculation of how much you owe the government or how much they owe you, here are just a few things that are written in the book. And I'm going to put it here because it is an activity. So you're going to be able to fill this out. Maybe if you're a youth, you're going to do it with your parents. And they'll give you round numbers. Maybe they won't give you the full numbers of what they make. But this will give you, ask them to give you, if they're not going to give you their numbers, ask them for rounded numbers. Numbers that are like what they would have paid. So the first thing you want to know is how much does your household make? This is collectively. This is the husband and wife. If you're single, it's just the husband. If you're married, husband and wife. Your kids are not actually applied to this. They would fill out their own taxes if they make a certain amount. You actually have to make, I have to look this up, it might have changed over the recent, but it's $500 to $600 for a child before they actually have to report back how much they make. So if your son or daughter has a side job, works for McDonald's, or works for Chick-fil-A, whatever, they will actually have to pay their own taxes on this. So in this sense, how much does your household make? This is you and your spouse, usually, or if you're single, you. Now, the second thing is, will you have a side job? So again, that's the main jobs, your full-time work, but do you have any side jobs? You have to add that to the revenue. So both of those together. If you are above $600, you better tell them about your side gigs because they will find out at some point. And you want to be honest and ethical in all that you do, right? So you're going to need to know that. Now, you also need to know if you are head of the household. Male or female, doesn't matter. If you're single, there's no head of the household because there's no household. There's no children. If you are divorced, there is head of a household, and you can actually have that. Now, your children, if you're divorced, can they actually be split up? So if you say, my situation, I had four kids. When we got divorced, I took two for my taxes. She took two for her taxes. So just to know that. Are you filing single or spouse? That's question number four. That's really important because taxes are done slightly different depending on the two statuses. Status I. Okay. Are you normally generous? Okay. So this is something that you want to understand. The more generous you are, the more you can usually take away from your taxes. Now, if you're not paying a mortgage, you can be generous and you're not going to really see it because you're going to take the standardized deduction. If you're renting, you won't get a increased deduction above the standard one that's for the normal citizen of the U.S. They all take the standardized deduction unless they have a lot more deductions, a lot more expenses that are like legitimate expenses to taxes, or that they have a mortgage, they do donations that are a certain height or certain amount. So if you don't have any of that, just plan on getting the standardized deduction. At the same time, let me go back to the generous part. We at Debt Free Millionaire want you to be very generous with your funding. Now, you might not be as generous as you would be when you're debt free. That's when you can do a lot more, you can give a lot more. But we still ask that you be charitable to others. Anyways, I'll go forward. The next question, are you a saver? How much will you allot to retirement? There's a certain amount of money that you can actually put in retirement for using an IRA. And this allows you to take money out of your wallet, put it into a retirement, like a Roth IRA, and all the taxes, like you've already been taxed one time, you won't be taxed additionally. There's certain retirements that you can do that actually take away from the amount that the government, that you owe the government. There's also medical benefits, such as an HSA, a health savings account, that the more you put towards your HSA, the more you can get back from the government. Now, what about a 529 account? A 529 is an educational account for your kids. Now, the money that you put in there is already taxed. You can't actually put it from your paycheck straight into that account. It has to be the taxes have to be pulled from you, and then you put it in there. But any increase, you do not get taxed on. So that's why that that account, that plan, is so great, because you don't get taxed on everything afterwards. They just tax you at the very beginning. Okay, and last one, will you have a lot of medical needs, medical bills, medical debt? Anything that you pay towards medical can actually be pulled out if it's a large enough amount. Something like $100, don't worry about it. It's not gonna change anything. If it's like $10, $20, $30,000, it could change your deductible, so you wouldn't actually have to take the standardized deduction. Okay, next question, student loans. Do you have student loans? If you have student loans, those actually go towards your deductions and can actually bring you out of the standardized deduction. Mortgage, we've already talked about that. Do you have kids? Every kid has an allotted amount to be deducted from your taxes. So if you have one kid, it used to be $2,000, and it keeps changing. It depends on the government. I know that since the Biden administration has come in, it's really hurt families with kids. But it used to be $2,000 every year for every kid that you had. So I had two kids for my taxes. I had $4,000 that I would be able to claim back from the government because I had kids. And you know what? Again, with the underpopulation in the United States, we actually need to increase the amount of kids that we have in this environment, or we're going to be struggling to do Social Security or any other tax that we have. We'll not be able to afford, one, the debt. We've already gone over the debt. We looked at the national debt clock and how much we're paying every month to the national debt. So a lot of these things we won't be able to afford unless we increase the amount of kids that we have. So just putting that out there. Also, per child, you can also take a childcare tax credit as well. If you're paying for childcare, they will actually basically give you back all the money that you put towards that up to a certain amount. So check on that whenever you read this. If you don't listen to this year, it's going to be different than it will be next year, because they always change. Again, it depends on the government that's in place. Executive branch, the administration, it goes up and is very political. Sorry to say, but it is. Now, to calculate your taxes, you have your income, then you deduct your deductibles. You can itemize it, which is you're taking all of them and saying, okay, I make more than the standardized deduction, or you can just take the standardized deduction. Now, the next one is you can actually, you take those two, your income minus either your itemized deductions or your standardized deductions, and that will actually give you your net income. And that's where your taxes are pulled from. Now, here's the thing. If you make, I should have brought these numbers up. Maybe I'll look these up. If you make a certain amount, then you will actually get a higher tax bracket. So I'm looking these up right now, because they have changed for 2024. Okay, so here are the deductions, here are the tax brackets. So basically everything under 12%, Now this also depends on if you're married or if you are single, but yeah. So let's go through these, and I'll put this up on the screen so you can see it. Okay. So there is a, this is 2023, it's supposed to give me 2024, oh, there we go, 2024. So if you make under $11,600, you pay a tax rate of 10% on everything up to $11,600. You pay 12% on anything between, well, if you make above $11,610, or $1, you pay 10% on the first $11,600, and then 12% on anything from $11,600 to $47,000. Okay, then the next tax bracket is 22%. It jumps from 10 to 12 to 22, and this is for anyone that's making between $47,000 and $100,000. Now, again, the first $11,600 is paid 10%. The next up to 47,000, so 11,000 to 47,000 is 12%. That amount is paid 12%. The next, between $47,000 up to $100,000, now that's 22%. There's a big jump. There's 10% jump. So the middle class is really hit there. And then all of a sudden, if you make between $100,000 and $191,000, you only jump another 2%. That's 24%. Now, they do actually hit the wealthier. It jumps, again, up 8%. So if you make between $191,000 and $243,000, you pay 32% on that amount, the $191,000 to $243,000. The next one is 35%, which is at $243,000 a year to $609,000. So that's a big swath, and you go up 3% from that point. So the biggest jump here is that 10% for anyone making between $470,000, which is still low income these days because of inflation, to $100,000. So this is the low middle income of the United States has the biggest jump in taxes. Now, this is actually a little bit different than what it was before. So like last year, the 10% went up $600. It wasn't much. Everything's gone up slightly. The 22% went from $95,000 to $100,000. So it's increasing. Why is that? Because they know they can't pay the debt. They know they can't pay the interest on the debt. And so they have to increase how much, and slowly, depending on how much you make, you're going to be making, or you're going to be paying more and more and more. So that's the hard thing about these tax brackets. During the Trump administration, it was actually a lot less. And during different administrations, it's gone up and down. So the middle class is very much hurting during this administration because of this. But how do we go forward with that? Well, we do what we can. I mean, there's nothing more we can do. So in this, actually, I have 2022, the tax bracket in the 10% was up to $10,000. So now it's $11,600. 12% was between $10,000 and $41,000. And 22%, the large jump, was $41,000 to $89,000. So again, because of inflation, because the government needs a lot more money to pay off their debts and interest on their debts and all the other entitlements, that's why our tax brackets are increasing. I want to do one more check while we're on this question. I should, again, should have looked this up before. Let's go back to 2020. 2020 tax brackets. Okay, so 2020 tax brackets. Oh, sorry, and this is the other thing. Those were if you're single. Those were the tax brackets if you were single. So the tax brackets were actually a little bit different if you were married. So for single, the 10% was up to $9,000, 12%, $9,000 to $40,000, 22%, the 10% jump, $40,000 to $85,000. So that's gone up $15,000 in the last, since 2000, so last 4 years. So it actually really hasn't changed that much between 2020 and 2024. But it has changed again, and it's because the government cannot stop spending money. They continue to get into debt. Further they go into debt, the more that they owe on that money, and the worse it's going to get. So when you get older, or if you're an adult right now, call up your representative. Vote for those that are going to be responsible with our finances in DC. If they're not going to be responsible for the money that we give them, they probably shouldn't be voted back in. This is one of the biggest things. This is worse than climate change, because this could take down the whole government. Climate change is an issue. But as you've seen, there's been models that said, by 2000, we're going to be flood. Our big cities are going to be flooded. By 2010, our coasts are going to be eroded. By 2020, it has gone on and on and on. And the reason why they use that is they want to make you subservient to them. They want to control you because of the fear that you have for things to come. What's a bigger fear than the government not being able to pay their debts? And then all of a sudden, every entitlement, every government function fails because they don't have the money to do it. If there's no money, there's no military. If there's no money, there's no welfare. If there's no money, there's no government spending. If there's no money, there's a lot of things that go under. And yes, am I fear-mongering by this? Yeah, there's probably going to be a little bit of fear-mongering in this. And why is there fear-mongering? Because you really should fear what the government is doing with your taxpayer money if they're being disrespectful to you and your money and overspending and not creating a budget. Again, we haven't had a budget in a long, long time. We haven't had a balanced budget since Clinton. And yeah, that's one of the good things that Clinton brought up between him and Newt Gingrich. Where is the accountability in DC? There is none. But at the same time, you cannot revolt by not paying your taxes, because if you don't pay your taxes, you will go to jail. And then they don't care. They don't care if you have, I'm standing on reason. I'm standing on ethics. They don't care. They're going to throw you in jail because that is the law. You have to pay your taxes. But here's the thing. You do not have to pay anything more than you have to. You're actually responsible to pay as little taxes as possible. Anything over is you're being generous to the government. So know this, you are in control of your finances. You are in control of your taxes because you can actually do things that pull that money out. We're actually gonna show you ways of not paying taxes. This is how the rich get out of paying taxes. So everyone in the middle class should not be paying taxes because of these certain things. And you will see these certain things as we go. And every single one of them is ethical, it is in the law, and was actually set up for those that invest in business and invest in property and invest in other things. Because with investment, the company flourishes. Without investment, the country dies. And that's why they want us to spend our money in certain ways where they get less money, even though they want your money. And they might end up taxing more because they don't get your money. But we're going to teach you how to stay out of that. And again, I'm not a tax accountant. You need to know this. I'm not a financial advisor. You need to know this. I am someone that's been through this for years, 20-something years, and I found out many loopholes that the government's gone through to keep the rich and the wealthy not having to pay their taxes. But they're not at all fault. They're not completely at fault. It's the legislature that's actually put it through. So it's our own government that has put up these rules, these loopholes to get people out of paying taxes. Or, yeah, you gotta hear this one. It's not just about the rich trying to get out of paying taxes. They're doing exactly what you're trying to do. You're trying to pay less money to the government and being able to focus on your future. And that's what we're gonna teach you, because we want you to be empowered so you don't have to rely on the government or rely on anybody else. We want you to be strong in who you are and be able to rely on you, not anyone else, so that you can be generous with others, those that don't know the system, those that don't understand finances. They're going to need you to be generous, but you don't have to be the government to be generous. There are so many nonprofits out there. Pay them. And again, find nonprofits where their CEO is not making millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're wasting your money. Give it to organizations that will actually use every penny to what you do. Or they actually have in their bylaws, a little inside information, there's bylaws for each nonprofit. And in those bylaws, and actually in their listing when asking for a 501c3, which is status in the IRS, that they don't have to pay taxes, you actually say, I'm putting 90% of this towards this charity or towards our charities. 10% is for administration. No, every organization, nonprofits included, need to be able to pay for their organization. I'm talking about presidents of these nonprofits that are taking a huge chunk of your money out of there. Now, if I'm part of a nonprofit, I was thinking that I'd be doing this because I'm generous or wanting to give back. Now, they do have to survive, of course, but they don't need hundreds of thousands or even millions of your dollars. So find companies, find organizations, nonprofits that are 501c3, so you can write that off in your taxes, but also find ones that are not paying huge amounts to their executives, and they're not using a lot of your money to pad their pockets, because that money should be going to where you want it to. I mean, worst case scenario, if you don't have a lot of money, you want to give a little bit of money, go make bags and hand them out to the homeless. That means every single penny that you're donating goes exactly to one of those people. Now, here's the sad thing. You can't pay your taxes. You can't get a deduction on your taxes by going out and serving the homeless. I did that this week. We put together, this last Christmas, we put together like 20 bags for homeless, and we passed them out on the street. We were bombarded. We actually parked, unknowing to us, right next to a camp, and tons of people came, and we only had a certain amount. And we apologized that we didn't have enough, and one of the guys actually stood up and said, "You're helping us. Why are you apologizing?" And I was like, "Well, it is what it is, so thank you." And it was really nice. We actually had a really good reception with them. I wasn't able to write on my taxes, but you know what? It was Christmas. I didn't care. But when you're debt-free, you can do these kind of deductions. You can do these charitable things, and people love you for what you're doing for them because they don't have much. And anything that they get from somebody else, they're grateful for. Now, of course, there's a lot of them that won't have, that you can't give it to everyone. There are so many homeless out there. And so finding an organization that you can donate is also a worthy cause, because they can also multiply your money. Say they buy the food and cook it at their kitchen at a homeless shelter and feed 100 people where you would have only fed 20 people. So they can actually multiply your money because they're doing it collectively. So just to let you know, there's some interesting things that you can actually take off your taxes. Now, I know I've gone probably a little bit over. Yep. So I'm going to leave you here. Thank you so much for joining me on this debt-free millionaire adventure as we get you to be debt-free or a millionaire, or if possible, both debt-free and a millionaire. And we're going to help you through this whole process. So thank you so much for joining me, and we'll catch you next time. Take care and have a great day. Bye-bye.